It's here and now. The summer meeting of the National Governors Association is wrapped up in Nashville without a single formal event on a topic that almost all states are dealing with, the Common Core Education Standards. Critics say the standards are an attempt by Washington to take control of local education. Supporters say they will make the U.S. more competitive globally. Melinda Gates is one of those supporters. She's co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has spent hundreds of millions of dollars pushing the Common Core. And Melinda Gates joins us from Nashville. Welcome to Here and Now. And give us a sense of why you have gotten behind this to such an extent. What is it about the Common Core that you were interested in?
Well, we got so interested in Common Core because we saw such a huge number of students not being prepared to go on to college. The fact that there were 50 different state standards, and as students moved across state lines, they weren't even learning the same thing in ninth grade math, and that teachers are saying, I can't collaborate with other teachers because we're teaching different things in English language arts in eighth grade. And the fact that we weren't in our schools educating the way the best schools are educating across the world, we knew we're falling behind in these PISA rankings, we knew we needed something different. And so as the Common Core state standards were developed by a group of educators and state commissioners in education, we saw the difference they could make in kids' lives, and we also saw that it brought flexibility to the way you were teaching and that teachers could start to collaborate with one another on lesson plans. And then when we started to see them being implemented in places like Kentucky and the difference it was making in kids' learnings, we said, wow, this is really something that could be a game changer in education.
Well, and what could you do for it? Because what the foundation is able to do is target money in certain places. How does money help implement the Common Core across the country?
Well, it means by having a Common Core, with the foundation coming in and listening to teachers and really supporting teachers, we can help come up with tools that help teachers teach the Common Core. If a teacher wants to teach the Scarlet Letter or Beloved or The Secret Life of Bees, we can have tools there that then help them teach and scaffold those lessons appropriately to meet the needs of their students. We can also make sure that educational innovation tools come into the space, new technology that provides all kinds of things, whether it's Sol Khan's lesson plans or whether it's the learning channel, that teachers can come in and have new tools online to also teach in really interesting ways in the classroom. The foundation can help bring those people into the space.
So what do you make of the criticism of Common Core from teachers' unions, from parent groups? At least three states have dropped Common Core this year. Some others are looking at doing the same thing. Why has it become at least more of a lightning rod than it was before?
Well, it's interesting. With the Common Core, you know, we had over 46 states and D.C. sign up to the Common Core. And I think it's because everybody knows they are the standards to make sure that we have, you know, all of our students prepared for this economy and to go on to work and to succeed at college or in their career. I think as you start to see a few states backing off, what's really interesting is that two of them have backed off a little. The standards that they've put in place are actually still the Common Core. They just renamed them. We know that these work, but I think where it got tricky is in the implementation. Let's be honest. The implementation of this is going to take some time. It has to be done carefully. It has to be done with teachers on board, and they need to get some time before they can actually teach appropriately in the classroom. So you've got to make sure that the assessments and the consequences for teachers and students don't happen immediately at the same time. And I think we got those two pieces overlapped, and that's why you got so much controversy. But where you're seeing the NEA and the AFT now coming forward just this past week and say we believe in the Common Core, it's because they're separating out the assessments from the Common Core piece, and that's what needs to happen.
So you think it was implemented too quickly?
I do. I think it was rolled out a bit too quickly, and I think we're just starting to learn how to roll it out appropriately. And the other thing that's pretty neat is you're seeing a state like Kentucky, which was the first one to start using the Common Core standards in 2011. Back then, only 38% of their kids were ready to go on to college. Now that number's up to 54%. So we know it works if implemented properly.
Well, but you say that the words Common Core have become one of the problems, that people would be fine with the actual standards in there, but they don't want to call it the Common Core. What's that about?
I think we let it become a political hot button in a way that it shouldn't be. We lost sight as a nation about what this was about. We lost sight of the fact that teachers believe in it, that the teachers are saying, we now know we're teaching the right things to our students, and this actually gives us flexibility, but it makes sure that we know we're teaching the right thing and we can collaborate with other teachers. We lost sight of that, and we lost sight of the students themselves. and the difference that it makes for them. And we've made this a political issue when it really shouldn't be.
Well, but there are also some who just don't think that it's the right approach and say, you know, the Gates Foundation can come in. They've got all this money. We don't have that kind of a voice. If we disagree with this project that the Gates Foundation is behind, there's not much that we can do to fight that.
Well, I think you have to look at the at our money and the totality of it in the education system. If we spent the entire corpus of the foundation today in U.S. education, we could only fund the state of California for 2 years. That's how tiny our money is. It looks huge, but when you look at how much money it takes to educate our students, it takes a huge amount. And so one of the things, you know, that we're trying to help people start to realize is that this has been and done in collaboration with teachers. These are teachers who are saying to us, this makes a difference and I want it. Now, they also want alongside that a real professional development and evaluation system that gives them specific coaching and support in their classroom. And that is also being done across the nation. But again, that needs to be done very, very carefully so that it's done right and can support the Common Core. And we've also been a part of that as well.
Is there anything that the foundation has funded in the course of its existence that you now look back on and say, perhaps we should have funded this other approach because it works better or anything like that?
Well, there's certainly things we learn all the time. We are completely a learning organization. So, but I will give you an example. Sometimes you don't ask the question in the right way. So at the beginning of the foundation, we also fund things in our own backyard, the Pacific Northwest. We wanted to end homelessness. We thought the right way to do that was to build a certain number of transitional housing units, which we started doing with many partners in Seattle. And we got three quarters of the way through that, and we realized it wasn't going to end homelessness. The way to end homelessness is to make sure people don't drop into that situation, and you could catch them much, much earlier. So those transitional housing units certainly do well for the people who need them and want them, but we want to catch them sooner. So we went back upstream to say, how else could we affect change? That was a key learning for us just in the Pacific Northwest. And we have some things like that in almost every program we do.
And you do a lot of programs. What's next? What's the next challenge you want to take on?
Well, we're in over about 20 different areas around the world when you add up all the diseases and the maternal and child health and the U.S. education. So Bill and I don't look ahead and say we know we have something else we want to get into in the next 5 years. It's more making sure we go deeper in those strategies and that we knit those strategies together. So whether it's vaccines in the developing world that help children, but also helping them with their nutrition and helping maternal mortality, knitting those strategies together so we can have bigger impact, that's what we're really focused on today.
Melinda Gates is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, talking with us today from Nashville, Tennessee, where she's attending an educators conference. And in full disclosure, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a financial supporter of NPR's education reporting. Melinda Gates, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And whether you are a student or a parent or a teacher or a school administrator, let us know where you stand on the Common Core standards at our website, hereandnow.org.